All right, so we're diving into injection mold making today.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's something I think we all take for granted, but I mean, ever wonder how that plastic, what is it, a phone case in your pocket actually gets made?
Yeah, it really is incredible when you think about it. The precision and just the sheer scale of some of these operations is mind-blowing.
For sure. So let's break it down. I mean, where do we even start? I'm guessing like blueprints and, old school design methods are kind of out the window these days, right?
Yeah, pretty much. CAD software has, it's completely revolutionized the whole design process.
CAD software. I mean, for those of us who, maybe aren't engineers, break that down a little.
So think of it like this. It's like a digital sculpting studio. You're creating these super detailed 3D models, right? But you're also testing them, refining them before anything physical even exists.
So no more like building a prototype just to realize, oh, shoot, this piece doesn't fit with this piece.
Exactly. I mean, catching those errors early, that's huge.
Yeah.
Saves a ton of time and money. Plus, CAD software also makes collaboration so much smoother. Everyone's working on the same model in real time, no more like back and forth with revisions and all that.
Okay, so that makes sense. And one thing that really jumped out to me in the research you sent, this ability to simulate the whole injection molding process, right, within the CAD software. I mean, what's the point of that? It's not just about visualizing it, right?
No, it's way more than just a pretty picture. I mean,
Hmm.
simulating the process, it lets you identify problems before they, they become real problems on the production line. So like, you can see how the molten plastic will flow, predict cooling rates, see where there might be warping or sink
So it's
marks.
like a virtual test run.
Yeah.
Fine-tune the mold design, the parameters, everything, before you even commit to making anything physical.
Exactly. Less wasted material, shorter lead times, better quality in the end.
Gotcha. Okay, so we've got our digital model. We've tested it virtually. Now, how do we actually make this mold in the real world?
CNC machines. That's where they come in.
I've heard those described as like robotic sculptors.
That's a great analogy. Yeah, I mean, they take those computer-aided designs and, they carve out the mold with a level of precision you just couldn't get by hand. And the things they can create now, it's amazing. Like tiny features, intricate undercuts, even those internal cooling channels.
And I imagine, especially for like, those really precise industries, medical devices or microelectronics. I mean, even the tiniest imperfection can be a huge deal, right?
Absolutely. I mean, think about it. You need that consistency. Every single part has to meet, those same standards. And CNC machining, it lets you get that level of precision every time.
So you're basically taking that digital perfection from the CAD software and you're translating it directly into the real world mold. That's pretty impressive. But I have to ask, I mean, that kind of precision can't be cheap, can it?
Well, you're right. The initial investment, it's definitely significant, but you have to factor in the long-term benefits. Less waste, faster production, higher quality parts, and the versatility too. I mean, you can create molds from so many different materials, steel, aluminum, all kinds of specialized alloys.
Right. So it's choosing the right tool for the job. Okay, and speaking of the right tools, let's move on to mold bases and inserts. These are kind of the foundation for the whole process, right?
Yeah, you can think of it like that. The mold base is like the structural framework, right? It holds all the other components, inserts, ejector pins, cooling channels. It has to be strong, It's got to withstand a lot of pressure and heat during the molding process.
Okay, so it's like the backbone of the whole operation. And what about inserts? What do those do?
Inserts are, I guess you could say they're the customizable parts. They actually shape the final product. And you can swap them out, to create different variations without having to build a whole new mold.
So if you're like making a product that comes in multiple sizes, you can just swap out the inserts. That's pretty smart.
Exactly. It's all about flexibility, faster lead times, and being more cost effective, of course. I
Yeah.
mean, think about it. You can potentially use, way fewer molds for a whole product line. That simplifies things a lot.
Okay, so it's all about maximizing efficiency and minimizing waste. That makes sense.
Absolutely. And speaking of efficiency, that brings us to another component that plays a pretty vital role, ejector pins.
Ejector pins. So those are the ones that they make sure the finished part actually comes out of the mold, right?
Exactly. They're strategically placed, and then, at the end of the molding cycle, they push the solidified part out of the cavity. It sounds simple, but it's really important to prevent damage to the part and to the mold itself.
And I'm guessing, like everything else, choosing the right ejector pins is important. So what goes into that decision?
Well, there's several things to consider. First, the material of the pin. Hardened steel, that's pretty common. It's durable. But sometimes you need something more corrosion resistant, like stainless steel.
Right. So like if you're molding something that's going to be exposed to, moisture or chemicals or something like that.
Right. Exactly. And then, of course, the size and shape of the pin, that has to be matched to the part, so it applies the right amount of force in the right spot.
So you don't want to like deform the part as you're pushing it out.
Exactly. And that's another place where that simulation software comes in handy. You can test different placements, different sizes, make sure everything works perfectly before you even build the mold.
Wow. So even something as, seemingly simple as an ejector pin, there's a lot of thought that goes into it.
Definitely. Every detail matters when you're aiming for that perfect outcome. And that brings us to another crucial element. Cooling systems.
I mean, I guess that makes sense. You got to keep the temperature under control, right? But why is that so important? I mean, what happens if it's not done right?
Well, the cooling process, it has a huge impact on the final part. I mean, how the plastic cools and solidifies, that determines, its strength, its dimensions, its appearance. You don't manage it properly, you can end up with parts that are warped or, shrunk, or they might have a really uneven surface.
Okay, so it's not just about getting the plastic to cool down. It's about controlling that cooling to get, that specific outcome you want.
Exactly. And there are different types of cooling systems, each with, their own pros and cons. The most common is water-based. It's pretty straightforward, cost-effective.
So I'm imagining like, channels inside the mold where the water circulates.
That's right. But water can be corrosive, over time. So you have to be careful about maintenance. And sometimes, for certain materials, you need something a little more precise.
So what are the options in those cases?
Oil-based systems, they transfer heat more efficiently and they're less likely to corrode. But of course, they're also, they're more expensive.
Got it. So again, it's that trade-off, right? Cost versus, that level of performance you need. And what about those really, really intricate molds, lots of detail? Are there specific cooling techniques for those?
Yeah, for those kinds of molds, conformal cooling is becoming more and more popular. Basically, instead of just, straight channels, you create channels that follow the shape of the mold cavity. So the cooling is, it's really targeted to those critical areas.
Wow, so it's like a custom designed cooling system for each mold.
You could say that. It's more expensive, of course, because it often involves, 3D printing or other advanced manufacturing techniques. But when you need that level of precision, it's often worth it.
Makes sense. Okay, so we've talked about creating the mold. We've talked about cooling it. What's next? How do we actually make sure everything, meets those precise specifications?
Ah, well, that's where measuring instruments come in. They're, I guess you could say they're the guardians of precision, making sure the mold is made, to the exact dimensions and tolerances of the design.
So you're talking like really, really precise measurements. I mean, beyond what, the human eye could even see.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, one of the key players here is the coordinate measuring machine, or a CMM. It's basically a three-dimensional measuring device. It uses probes to touch different points on the mold and record the coordinates.
So it's creating like a digital map of the mold's shape.
Yeah, you got it. And then you can compare that to the original CAD model and see if there are any, deviations or problems.
And I imagine that's especially important for those really tight tolerances.
Absolutely. And CMMs, they're great because they can measure all sorts of things, distances, diameters, curves, angles, all that.
Okay, so they're pretty versatile. But what about like those really subtle imperfections, things that a probe might miss?
Well, for that, we've got laser scanners. They use beams of light to capture a 3D scan of the surface.
Oh, interesting. So it's like a digital photograph of the mold surface, right?
You could say that. And it lets you see, any surface imperfections, inconsistencies, even warping or distortions that that you might not see otherwise.
So again, it's about catching those problems early.
Exactly. And laser scanners, they're becoming really popular because they're non-contact. So, you don't have to worry about damaging the mold by touching it.
Right. That makes sense. But what about like those basic tools, calipers, micrometers? I mean, do those still have a place in this high-tech world.
Oh yeah, definitely. They're still essential for quick checks, on the spot measurements, especially for those smaller features that might be hard to get to with, a CMM or a laser scanner.
So it's about having, the right tool for the job, whether it's cutting-edge technology or something that's been around for centuries. And it seems like injection mold making is this, I don't know, there's a balance of precision, efficiency, and constant innovation.
I think that's a great way to put it. And as technology keeps advancing, I think we'll see even more incredible things happening in this field.
Well, and that's a perfect segue into the next part of our deep dive, because I want to talk about, how these tools are being used to create those, innovative products we see every day, and also how they're helping address some of the challenges facing the industry, like sustainability.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot to unpack there. I mean, think about healthcare, right? Surgical instruments, implants, all kinds of devices. Injection molding is everywhere. And the automotive industry too, right? Lighter cars, more fuel efficient. It's pushing the boundaries of what we can do with mold design and materials.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking of pushing boundaries, let's go back to those ejector pins for a second. I mean, they might seem like a small detail, but like you said, they're crucial for getting that part out of the mold without messing it up.
Absolutely. It's kind of like, choosing the right tires for a race car. They got to be able to handle the pressure, the heat, over and over again.
So what are some of the materials used for ejector pins? I mean, does it depend on like what you're molding?
Yeah, you always want to choose the material that that's best suited for the job. Hardened steel, that's pretty common. It's, tough, durable. But if you're worried about corrosion, then stainless steel is usually a better choice.
Okay, so like if you're molding something that's going to be exposed to, water or chemicals or something.
Exactly. And then of course you got to consider the size and shape of the pin too. You want it to apply, just the right amount for force in the right place, so you don't end up with a distorted part.
Right. And you mentioned earlier that simulation software can help with, figuring out the best placement for those pins.
Yeah, that's a huge help. I mean, you can test it all virtually, see how the ejection process works, identify any potential problems before you even build the mold. It's amazing.
So you can basically like fine-tune the whole process in the computer, make sure everything comes out perfectly every time.
Pretty much, yeah. And those really complex molds with all those intricate features, those can be really challenging when it comes to ejector pins.
Yeah, I can imagine. So, I mean, what do you do in those cases?
Well, sometimes you gotta get a little creative. Things like collapsible cores or multi-stage ejection systems. It's all about making sure that part comes out cleanly without any damage.
Okay, that's pretty fascinating. But let's switch gears for a minute and talk about cooling systems. We touched on it briefly before, but I'm curious to dig a little deeper. Why is it so important to have that precise temperature control during the molding process? I mean, what happens if you don't?
Well, the cooling process, it's a big deal. It really affects the quality of the final part. I mean, how fast the plastic cools, how it solidifies, that determines, its strength, its dimensions, even its appearance. If you don't manage it right, you can get parts that are warped, shrunk, or they might have like a really uneven surface.
So you can have a part that looks okay at first glance, but it's actually like not meeting the specs.
Right, exactly. Sometimes those defects, they might not be obvious right away, but they could lead to problems later on. I mean, think about aerospace parts or medical implants. Those have to be perfect.
Oh yeah, for sure. The stakes are they're pretty high in those industries.
Yeah.
So getting the cooling right, that's definitely critical. Now, I remember you mentioned water-based cooling systems. Those are I guess those are the most common, right?
Yeah, they are. I mean, they're pretty simple, usually the most cost-effective option. They use, a network of channels inside the mold to circulate cool water and draw heat away from the plastic.
So it's not just like randomly drilling holes in the mold, right?
Yeah.
There's some engineering that goes into designing those channels.
Oh yeah, definitely. The size, the placement, the whole layout, it all has to be carefully calculated to make sure the cooling is, it's even throughout the mold. But water-based systems, they do have some downsides. Water can be corrosive, especially over time, so You have to make sure you're doing regular maintenance, treating the water properly, and all that.
Okay, so there's, there's upkeep involved.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that sometimes, depending on the material, water-based cooling might not be the best option.
That's right. Sometimes you need something that can handle higher temperatures or, provide more precise control. That's when you might go with an oil-based system.
Oil-based. So what's the difference there?
Well, oil, it's got a higher thermal conductivity than water, so it can transfer heat more efficiently, and it's generally less corrosive. But the downside is oil systems are usually more expensive, and they need more specialized equipment to heat and cool the oil.
So it's another one of those trade-offs, right? Cost versus performance. Now, what about those super intricate molds with all those tiny features and tight tolerances? Do those usually require like a different kind of cooling setup?
Yeah, for those really complex molds, you often need to use more advanced cooling techniques, conformal cooling, for example. Instead of using those straight cooling channels, you create channels that actually like follow the shape of the mold cavity.
Wow, so the cooling channels they're basically custom made for each mold.
Pretty much, yeah. It allows you to target the cooling to those really critical areas, make sure everything solidifies evenly, and it's often done using 3D printing or other advanced manufacturing methods.
So I'm guessing it's probably pretty expensive.
It can be, yeah. But for those really high precision parts, it's often worth it. And as 3D printing gets, more affordable and accessible, we're seeing conformal cooling being used more and more, even for smaller production runs.
So it's another example of how technology is, changing the game. Okay, now let's talk about measuring instruments. I mean, we've talked a lot about, making these precise molds, but how do we actually make sure they meet those specifications?
Ah, well, that's where measuring instruments come in. I mean, they're all about, verifying that the mold has been manufactured to those exact dimensions and tolerances. And they're used throughout the whole process, from checking the raw materials to inspecting the finished mold and even the parts that come out of it.
It's like a constant, constant chain of quality control.
Exactly. And it's especially important in those industries where, where precision is absolutely essential, like, aerospace, medical devices, things like that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, in those cases, a defective part could be, could be really dangerous.
Absolutely. So you have to be, really rigorous about quality control. You need that traceability, being able to track every component, every material, every step of the process.
Okay, so it's about, knowing exactly where everything came from, making sure it all meets those high standards.
Exactly. And that's what gives those industries, the confidence to use injection molding for those critical applications.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's pretty amazing when you think about the level of, the level of precision that's involved in all of this. And it's really cool to see how those same principles are now being used to address things like sustainability, like using recycled materials, bio-based plastics, things like that.
Yeah, it's definitely an exciting time to be in this field. And I think as technology continues to evolve, we're going to see even more innovative solutions coming out.
Well, and that's a perfect segue into the next part of our deep dive.
Yeah.
Because I want to talk about, how these tools are being used to create those, innovative products we see every day, and also how they're helping to address some of the challenges facing the industry, sustainability.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot to unpack there. It really is. I mean, it's great to see how sustainability is becoming, such a driving force for innovation in this industry.
Yeah, and it's something we're seeing, across the board these days. But I think with plastics, there's this perception, right, that they're just like inherently bad for the environment. But the research you sent, it paints a different picture. There's actually a lot happening to change that.
Yeah, you're right. It's a complex issue. And, there are definitely legitimate concerns about plastic waste and, what it does to the environment. But at the same time, there's this growing movement to develop more sustainable plastics, and to adopt more responsible manufacturing practices.
So it's not about, just getting rid of plastic altogether. It's about using it more intelligently. And when it comes to injection mold making, what are some of the specific things being done to make it, more sustainable?
Well, one of the most promising areas is bio-based plastics. I mean, these are plastics that are, made from renewable resources like plants.
Oh, wow. So instead of using oil, we're using plants to make plastic. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a pretty big shift, and there are a lot of advantages. I mean, for one thing, bio-based plastics, they often biodegrade a lot faster than, traditional plastics. So they're less likely to, sit in a landfill for hundreds of years.
Right. And since they're made from, plants, they're probably better for the environment in other ways too, right? Like carbon footprint and all that.
Exactly. The whole life cycle, from production to disposal, it's generally a lot better for the environment. But what about all the plastic that's, already out there? Can we recycle that and use it in injection molding?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, and the answer is absolutely. Recycling is becoming, a really important part of sustainable manufacturing. And a lot of companies are, incorporating recycled plastics into their processes so they don't have to, create new plastic from scratch.
So we're basically closing the loop.
Yeah.
We're taking something that would have been thrown away and turn it into something new.
That's the idea. And there are different ways to do it. One approach is to use post-consumer recycled plastic. You know,
Right.
that's plastic that's been collected and processed after, after consumers have used it.
So like plastic bottles, containers, all that stuff.
Exactly. It gets collected, sorted, cleaned, and then it's processed into pellets that can be used, as raw material for injection molding.
Okay, so it gets a second life as a brand new product. That's really cool. But are there any challenges with using recycled plastic?
Well, there are some, yeah. I mean, recycled plastics, they don't always have the exact same properties as virgin plastic. They might have a wider range of melting points, or they might flow a little differently. So you sometimes have to adjust the molding process a bit.
So it's not just a simple swap.
Right. And another challenge is consistency. I mean, recycled plastic, it comes from, all these different sources, so it can be a little more variable than virgin plastic.
So it's about finding good sources for the recycled plastic and making sure it's high quality.
Yeah, and that's where the skill of the mold maker really comes in. They have to understand how to work with these, different materials and how to adapt the process to get the results they need.
Okay, that makes sense. Now we've talked a lot about precision and quality control when it comes to making the molds, but how do those same principles apply to the actual products, the things that come out of the molds?
Well, quality control, it's important throughout the whole process. I mean, from the design of the mold to, inspecting those finished parts and all those tools we've talked about, the CMMs, the laser scanners, even the simple calipers and micrometers, they all play a role in making sure that those parts they meet the specifications.
So it's a constant process of checking and rechecking, right, to make sure everything is up to par.
Exactly. And in some industries, it's even more important than others, like medical devices, for example, or aerospace components. I mean, those parts, they have to be perfect.
Yeah, I can imagine. There's no room for error there.
Not really, no. And that's why traceability is so important, being able to track every step of the process, every material, every component.
So it's about having that complete record, that chain of custody.
Right, and that's what gives those companies the confidence to use injection molding for those really critical applications.
Well, that's really incredible, and it's been fascinating to learn about all of this. I mean, it's amazing to think about how much precision and ingenuity goes into making these everyday objects that we take for granted.
I agree, and it's really cool to see how these principles are now being applied to address those bigger challenges like sustainability. I mean, it's definitely a step in the right direction.
Well, I couldn't agree more, and I
Yeah.
think that's a great place to wrap things up. Thanks so much for joining us today and sharing your expertise. This has been a really enlightening deep dive into the world of injection mold making.
It's been my pleasure.